So, King Nebuchadnezzar had a gold statue made, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and he had it set up in Babylonia. Then the king gave orders for all his officials to come together.
Come on, officials, come over here. Look, all official. That's lovely, thanks.
When all these officials gathered for the dedication and stood in front of the statue, a herald announced in a loud voice, "People of all nations, races and languages, you will hear the sound of trumpets, followed by the playing of oboes, lyres, zithers and harps, and then all the other instruments will join in." As soon as the music starts, you are to bow down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Anyone who does not bow down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.
Keep it quiet.
And so, as soon as they heard the sound of the instruments, all the people bowed down and worshipped the gold statue which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
You have to pretend. We couldn't do the gold statue. Just bow, that's fine.
It was then that some Babylonians took the opportunity to get the Jews in trouble. Sure. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May your majesty live forever. There are some Jews whom you put in charge of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who are disobeying your majesty's orders. They do not worship your God or bow down to the statue you set up." At that, the king flew into a rage and ordered the three men to be brought before him. He said to them, "Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego."
You can take Meshach and Abednego with you, Dan. Go and look to the king.
"Is it true that you refuse to worship my God and to bow down to the gold statue I have set up?" "Your Majesty, we will not try to defend ourselves. If the God whom we serve is able to save us from the blazing furnace and from your power, then he will. But even if he doesn't, your Majesty may be sure that we will not worship your God and we will not bow down to the gold statue that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar lost his temper and his face turned red with anger at Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. So he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he commanded the strongest men in his army to tie the three men up and throw them into the blazing furnace.
You're the strongest man in the army. Throw them in the fiery furnace. You need to go with Kevin. You stay with us. Babylonians don't go in the fiery furnace. There you go. You stay here with us.
So they tied them up, fully dressed, shirts, robes, caps and all, and threw them into the blazing furnace. After a little while, Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement.
She's the angel. The angel needs to go in the fiery furnace.
He asked his officials, "Did we tie up 3 men and throw them into a blazing furnace?" Do you want to head over there? They answered, "Yes, we did, Your Majesty." "Then why do I see 4 men walking around in the fire?" he asked. "They are not tied up, and they show no sign of being hurt, and the 4th one looks like an angel." So Nebuchadnezzar went up to the door of the blazing furnace and called out, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Supreme God, come out." And they came out at once. All the princes, governors, lieutenant governors, and other officials of the king gathered to look at the 3 men who had not been harmed by the fire.
Just going to the king.
Their hair was not singed, their clothes were not burnt, and there was no smell of smoke on them. The king said, "Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued these men who serve and trust him. They disobeyed my orders and risked their lives rather than bow down and worship any god except their own."
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Well done.
Well, good morning, everybody. This morning, I want to start off by telling you about one of my old youth leaders. Now, he was a bit of a favourite with the ladies in the church where I grew up. He was tall, he was handsome, he had muscles about the size of a small city. Looked a bit like me. And he would often get up to do notices about the youth group, about things that are going off in the church. He'd just somehow effortlessly slip into his conversation as he gave a notice what he did for a job. He'd say something along the lines of, "Well, in my job as a firefighter," or, "When I'm down the fire station with the guys, we have loads of opportunities to watch, to talk about this or that," or whatever it was that he was wanting to talk about. Now, as he did this, you could look around the church and see all the ladies with a faint smile on their face and going a little weak at the knees. Without fail, every time he mentioned it, the ladies just glowed inside. Now, I must admit that I have no experience of being a firefighter. However, there's one thing that I do know about what it is to be a fireman. Being a fireman involves going into hot places. It means going into places that are dangerously hot. And it's normally places that people aren't able to go to, that firemen have to go into. But the firemen go in there normally to go and rescue someone, to bring someone out, and to save someone from such a dangerous place. Being a fireman is a dangerous job. It's a physically demanding job. And you have to be specially trained because in order to do it because of how dangerous it is to be a fireman. Now, firefighters themselves put themselves at risk in order to rescue other people. But today we've heard already a story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego who put themselves at risk of fire for a very different reason. However, the question is, what does this story from thousands of years ago mean for us today? As far as I'm aware, there's no 27-metre-high statues being built in Chelmsford that we need to bow down to. There's no fiery furnaces that we're going to get thrown into, and if there were, there's probably some human rights legislation that means we can't do that anyway. So what does this story mean for us today? Well, as we go through this next 10 minutes, I want to suggest that there's two questions that we need to ask ourselves from this story. Now, as we heard earlier, the story starts with King Nebuchadnezzar building a big statue. Now, I tried to work out how big the statue was in comparison to the church here, but realised there was nothing of the same scale. The statue would have probably been taller than the whole building. But to give you some sense of idea, if you imagine 15 people my size all stood on top of each other's heads, then you're going to have about the size of what King Nebuchadnezzar's statue was. It was a big, tall statue. Not only was this statue very big, but it was also very glamorous. King Nebuchadnezzar built it out of gold, which was big and sparkly, and it made it all look very pretty, and people looked at it and went, "Wow, look at the statue." It was a very glamorous and expensive metal with which Nebuchadnezzar built the statue from. A couple of months ago, I was out in London with some friends after a day at college, and we were walking around the town centre, and we looked up for some reason, and got a bit of a shock, because we suddenly realised as we looked up, we'd accidentally stumbled upon the Shard. This big, massive building. Has anyone here been to see the Shard today? Anne has? Anybody else? I can't believe Anne's the only person in the whole of Chelmsford and Central Baptist Church who's seen the Shard. There we go. Don't leave me hanging. I want to see lots of hands. That's good. I know you're listening to me then. Okay, and has anybody been up to the top of the Shard? No? No one's been up to the top of the Shard. No, okay, well, I hear it's quite an impressive view when you get up there. The Shard is a big, tall, massive building built out of glass. And when me and my friends walked past it, we took a moment to stop and to admire it. Some of us who were a bit like buildings, we were sort of like, "Oh, that's cleverly designed. I wonder how they did that." Some of us were sort of like, "Oh, that's just big." But we all stopped and had a little time to admire it. One of my friends even got out his camera and to commemorate the moment. He comes from the country, so doesn't often see big buildings. Often he got his camera out and took a photo with his face in the foreground, the Shard in the background, so he could say to all his friends that he went to see the Shard. Now, it's quite normal to stop and admire nice buildings and places. However, it quickly became apparent that King Nebuchadnezzar had a different plan for what he wanted people to do to his statue. Yes, people could stop and admire it, but he also decided that he wanted all the people in his land to bow down and worship the statue that he had made for them. Now, I'm going to do a memory test, I'm afraid, and the microphone's coming out. First question for you. About a year ago, the all-age service team here in the church did a series of services looking at the Ten Commandments. If, by a show of hands, can anybody remember coming to one of those services that the all-age service team did? Quite a few hands, yeah, okay, fantastic. Now, this is the difficult question. This is the one for the microphone. Can anybody remember what the first service and the first commandment that God gave to Moses of those Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai? Can anybody remember? Anybody?
Ooh,
that's a shock, isn't it?
There is only one God?
There is only one God. It's slightly different to that. Anybody else remember what the slight difference might be? Almost. Oh, Edna?
Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
It wasn't quite phrased like that. The one I got... hang on, let's just see if John can remember it.
You shall have no other gods but me.
That's for the one I was looking for. You should worship no other God but me. And that comes from Exodus 20, verse 3, in case you can't see that. Okay, so... bearing that in mind, can anybody think why the Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego might have had an issue with bowing down and worshipping the statue? Anybody? I just gave you the answer. It was because God wanted him, only God, to be worshipped. So King Nebuchadnezzar was asking them to bow down and worship the statue. But God's already told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they should worship no other God but him. This brings us to our first question that I want to ask us this morning. Do we only worship one God? Do we focus solely on him? Do we have pressures in our day-to-day lives, a bit like King Nebuchadnezzar's statue, that we instead bow down to and put ahead of God? We all have people that we look up to and admire. It doesn't necessarily have to be a statue that we have in our garden or in our house that we bow down and worship. It can also be a person. Maybe it's a celebrity. Maybe you're a big fan of Justin Bieber or of... I don't know who the other pop celebrities are that are big these days. I've moved on to Radio 2 instead of Radio 1. but there's a whole number of people that we might put up as celebrities who we put ahead in front of God. It's all right to admire them and to want to be like them and to take bits of them and say, yeah, I admired that in that person. That's a good thing to be. But it's a completely different thing if we then instead worship that person and put them before God. Maybe it's a football team. Maybe you're an Arsenal fan or a Tottenham fan or a Chelmsford City fan. And you want to be their number one fan and you will do everything possible to be their number one fan. And yet, if we put our football team before God... that can be the equivalent of worshipping a statue. Or maybe for some of us, it's success in our job or success financially that we are tempted to worship instead. We're so concerned and focused about getting as much cash and as much kudos in our workplaces that we can put that first instead of putting our relationship with God before our work. Now, the list of possible statues for us today is endless. What is the statue that you are facing today? What is it that you know you often feel pressured to put before God and to give your time to that instead? It may be that you don't even know about it. Maybe you need to just take 5 minutes later on in the day to think about what it is that you know you can easily put before God, because we all have something that is we can easily put there before him. The second story or question that this story asks us today is how we are going to respond to those statues in our lives. There is often so much pressure on us to conform to the things that we can quite often feel tempted to put before God, whether it's from our friends at school or from at work, from our wider community society in the places that we live, from the pressures of advertising, from the pressures of family, from the pressures of the government. We can all be under a lot of pressure. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also faced a lot of pressure. Everyone else around them bowed down and worshipped the statue as King Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to. They were even threatened with being thrown into a fiery furnace if they did not do what the king wanted, but they stayed true to God and faithful to God. Despite this huge amount of pressure on them to do what they wanted to do, they stay true to God. When you are tempted to not put God first in your lives, when you're feeling under pressure to do something that you know that God would not want you to do, then how is it that you respond? Do you just go with the flow and go ahead anyway and just say, do you know what? There's too much pressure. I'm just going to have to go ahead and do this, even though I don't want to. Or are you a bit more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who stayed faithful to God even when they had the risk of losing their lives? The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego challenges us whether or not we are willing to be faithful to God. When we are at breaking point, when everything around us is telling us to do something different to that what God wants us to do, are we willing to be faithful to him? Are we willing to stand firm, to trust in him, and to put him above everything else, regardless of the cost to us? That in itself is a challenge. There will be a cost. It might mean that being faithful to God means that we lose some friends. It might be that some of us are not quite so well off financially because we don't do something that will financially better us off in loyalty to God. We might not do as well as something as we might otherwise do. We may not quite achieve to be the number one fan of Chelmsford City. Instead, we might just be the number two fan. But we have stayed faithful to God. However, I want to encourage you this morning as well that that is not the end of the story. The story also goes on to tell us not only of how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are faithful to God, but that God is also faithful to them. God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. The same promise is true for us today. When we are faithful to God, we may still face hot and dangerous and difficult times, just like those that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced, maybe, where they had so much pressure, even to the point that they nearly gave up their lives for God. However, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found in that furnace, we too can be confident that God will be there with us in the difficulties and the challenges that we face too. We can be confident that in our faithfulness to God, he too will be faithful to us. So as we go from this place, may we be faithful to God. May we keep hold of what is good and avoid all forms of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, make us holy through and through, and keep us sound in spirit, soul and body, free of any fault until our Lord Jesus comes. Amen.